Hey guys, welcome to The Roundtable. Here at The Roundtable, we continue the conversations that we have had from Sunday morning and how you can have practical ways to help every person take their next steps towards Jesus together.
Hey, welcome everybody to The Roundtable, episode number 3. We're excited to be back with you guys. Our co-host, Jenny, the superstar walker, and our guest, Taylor Petrie. So we want to start off with today a little bit. We're going to get to our fan section later on, but we want to get to know our guest. So Taylor, tell us a little bit about you.
Ooh, yeah, where do here we go. Start? Huh? Yeah. I know, right?
Oh, no, we can lead you into a lot of places.
We can.
So, I know.
Yeah, so let's just start with the generalities. Tell us a little bit about you.
All right.
And make sure you give a shout out to your wife.
Yes.
Because she does watch.
Hey, Erica.
Thanks for watching.
She likes me better.
Thanks for watching. You're one of the three. So
shout out to the ghouls as well. So I'm Taylor Petrie. I work here at Life Church. I'm the relational ministry / small groups leader.
Woo.
Yeah, I've worked here just
so maybe
over
you're going to whistle like Thaddeus.
I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Okay, not like that. I have to use my fingers.
Okay, do it.
It's been a really long time since I've
done it. Okay, then do it.
I taught myself in jail. And you get so bored.
Just, that's what I thought.
No, I can do it.
That worked.
Yeah. Just carry on.
A dog can hear it because it's so high pitched.
Yeah. It was
whatever.
A dog whistle.
I was put on the spot.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Somebody taught you in jail.
Yes.
Jail tricks with Jenny.
Yeah.
I got lots of them.
So, yeah, I've worked here for, just over a year.
Well, where'd you come from? Maybe you should start with that. Oh, because aren't you you're somewhat famous.
Am I?
Yeah.
Famous.
I
mean,
well, I'm only famous when people find me downtown and send me a picture.
Why?
So I have a banner. Nick's seen it. Heather Heupel's seen it.
A banner?
A banner.
If you go down Jefferson.
Because he's a vet?
Yeah.
One of those vets.
One of those things. I'm not dead.
One of those vets.
There's literally like posters as you go downtown.
And you're on one?
I'm like the first one.
I'm going to
go. They moved me. I used to be down the old marsh, so nobody ever knew where I was.
I play that game.
I'm going to go take a selfie
Taylor.
Yeah. Is it really? I'm going to drive down.
I know.
I guess I never go down that street.
It's funny when people text me like, oh my gosh, you were in the Navy?
You know why I don't go down that street? I stay on all the back roads because all of the police in Huntington are trying to arrest me for not wearing my seatbelt.
Fun fact.
I try to not go on any of the roads.
You can get arrested for that?
Yes.
I've been
pulled over 6 times and got 6 tickets for not wearing my seatbelt.
How much are they, like 50?
$25. It doesn't even matter. It just makes me mad.
It's
I keep telling them, do you know there's a drug epidemic in Huntington, like
I know, right?
Something else you could do other than pull
seriously.
Me over. I know, like you're a like that's what I was saying. You're kind of special.
Special.
You weren't just
capital
in the Navy.
He's
I mean,
just
you were
really
like
special.
A.
So I played.
Like, are you allowed to disclose it, or is it? Secret?
I know. Is that secret?
Is it secret?
My Navy?
Is your file sealed?
Oh my
sealed?
Gosh! I want to know all of the inside.
Brady and I
scoop.
Were talking about this the other day because I was like, "Well, this is what I think about Taylor." It's like I don't know if that's true or not, and I'm like, "I don't know. Maybe it's a sealed." File maybe
we'll never know.
There's things that I'm not allowed to
really
discuss. I mean
have you told Erica?
She knows most of what
I do. If anybody from the Navy's watching send somebody to Taylor's house.
This one's gonna be the one
disclosed
that
information
viral.
To his wife.
Yes.
Oh yeah. No, I there's just programs and things that I've done that I can't discuss. But
done.
No, I know, but
things
you're like a
done.
Rescue swimmer, special forces.
I was, I left high school. I ran away from Huntington and said I'd never come back.
Yeah, never say never.
Yeah, I joined, it was like 2010, went to boot camp. My official title was rescue swimmer, naval air crewman, but that doesn't begin to describe like what all we did. I've done all kinds of I've like hunted submarines, Chinese submarines.
Isn't there a movie about that?
Busted.
Hunting Red October?
Yeah,
or
Hunt for Red October. One of our famous Master Chiefs was in that movie.
Whoa.
Tony DeCenzo.
What I'd
he
say,
really is
famous.
Famous.
He lowered,
he
Alec,
is famous.
He lowered he is. Alec Baldwin on.
Hey, he lived in California, so he's
California.
Pretty famous.
Why, does everybody lives in California famous?
Yeah, pretty much.
They think they are.
They're high living.
Yeah, just because they have a Tesla.
So you're
very true.
Well, you wouldn't own a Tesla?
Oh, I would.
Debatable.
I would. Have you read his book?
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. He does awesome stuff, but like...
Like what?
Like
I'll tell you what
like
he did.
Like who just decides they're going to send a rocket into space and just...
Right.
With a car attached to it, just because.
When did this happen? I thought I knew
know
what
that,
you were
did
saying.
Did that really happen?
Oh, he sent a car into space.
Who
since
did?
Since when?
Who?
What?
Tesla.
Yeah.
No, I can't
Tesla. His
your
name's
your
Elon
head.
Musk.
Elon Musk. This was a thing.
I didn't know that.
Man, listen, he went long ago.
Like, I would own a Tesla.
I would. It tells you, like, you can put on your screen, like, you know how, like, there's this not pandemic, but this, when you leave your dog, when you leave your dog in a car, there's people can break your windows. They have a thing where you can, like, type on the screen, my dog is in here and it is locked or something like this, and my car is on and the air is on. Please do not break my window. My owner will be right back. I have seen that.
Okay, so
I won it for that
reason.
Just
think about this. So, Nick, think about all the innovations. Have you ever read the book before? All the innovations that went into Tesla and all the incredible things that happened. And here's what Jenny says. Yep. The best thing about a Tesla is they can tell you that your dog is okay. So please buy a $60,000 electric car.
For your car.
You would buy
for your dog.
Specifically because you can convert them into beds because you can lay the seats down.
Oh my gosh.
They sell bed converters. And you and Grayson would sleep in that
thing. If you read the book, the innovations that went into creating the Tesla, and then I'm like, I'm thinking you're going to say something like really
profound.
That
is big. I always worry about people breaking my window.
And then you came back and you're like, oh yeah.
Well, don't take your dog everywhere.
He needs to go places.
Okay, back on Taylor being famous. So Taylor was a rescue swimmer out in San Diego.
Yep.
I need to know more about that.
Fun fact, I married Taylor. Well, I didn't really marry him.
Yeah, well, you did.
No, I married
was not reading that correct. Or
him and Erica. So I got to do their wedding.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you did the counseling thing.
No, I did.
A condensed session.
Yeah, we did
my
one session.
Sat at the table. Shout out to Steve if he's watching.
Yeah, Steve Sims.
Did he really?
He sat there. And he was like, "I'm going to sit there with you and Hill." And I was kind of like, "Shouldn't Eric and I just sit?"
Well, it
with
was
him?
Because I coached with Steve, and so Taylor wanted to get married.
What a small
and I don't,
world.
And I don't know that you had a like a somebody then. Like,
well,
a
no, because
I was the last choice.
I came to life.
No, from a long time.
It was
ago,
the only though. Church in Huntington that I really like knew and or trusted.
Okay,
because definitely. Yeah, I had intentions about where I was going to get married and who I was going to get married through. Right. And you were an easy connection through Steve and then through our family, I think.
And then we got to go. And it was a famous wedding at Joseph Dequeue.
Wow.
I mean,
did you get to do that because your mom?
No, actually, I just paid a lot of money for it.
There. No. Like, you walked out there and you would have thought, like, wow.
What, you had your wedding there or was
at
it the
reception?
Farm.
Yeah, at the farm.
All I didn't know they have a farm.
Oh. It's beautiful.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a cool wedding.
Oh, my gosh.
Venue.
They have a Tesla.
Who does?
They were one of the first people I ever saw had like this, I don't know what model Tesla, but it was like the SUV one and it had like the doors that open up
really
on the side. And I was like, what is this?
Okay.
But that
was
a while
ago. And again, I mean, maybe an important part about the story is that when you left from the Navy, when you left to go into the Navy and be married, like this is all happening at once. No.
What?
You were dating.
No.
Erica.
So Eric and I dated since like 2009. We were
kind of like in high school.
Yeah.
I don't know when you're in.
We were
high
off and on in while I
so
joined.
You left and went to the Navy and left her alone.
I remember her talking.
She was in high school.
Listen, we were hanging out. And
I graduated.
I remember her talking like about you.
Yeah.
Because you were out in California and she was here.
Yeah.
And I think it was when you guys reconnected in that very beginning stage.
Yeah.
I just remember that time in her life. Of her just being like, excited and
I'm gonna be married to a famous.
No,
Navy.
She didn't know that then.
No, we didn't.
Didn't know he was gonna be famous.
No,
not famous.
But she still loved him anyway. Aww.
Yeah. Well, we went through a few several breakups in the early stages of me being away in the military and her still
dramatic.
Being in Huntington.
Was she a senior in high school?
We're 2 years apart. I was a senior and she was a sophomore.
Okay.
So
when you left.
17.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so I left and I had to go through about 2 years or so of training before I could actually start doing my job. So I went to Pensacola, Florida. And then I went over to Jacksonville, Mayport, which
is. So you guys had this like long distance relationship for a while?
It sucked. Yeah. That's, I think, you know, they say distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Did it?
No. Oh, I mean, like.
Erica.
She knows this.
Well,
I loved her, but
that's
like,
hard. Long distance
we
is
were,
hard.
I was like going through my age of 17 to 20, and she was still in high school.
Yeah.
So I was, it was just drama. And so until we learned to grow
like,
up.
Like, were you worried that she was with another guy?
Oh, I would get
did
texts
you ever
from
think
people
about that
they were at parties with, and they'd be like, ooh, hey, Erica's here. And
Erica's
I'm like,
here and
I didn't
I saw
know she
her.
Yeah.
Isn't that so annoying?
And were you ready, like, because you, at this point you're a Navy
I'm
SEAL,
a
so you're thinking, like, I'm going to
so
go
bad.
Rip that guy's esophagus out and drown him at the bottom of the
well,
sea, because
yeah,
I know how.
I associated those people. Yeah. I was always just like, well, it's Huntington. I was like, I'll never be back there.
And you were busy,
too. Okay, so for all you guys that live in Huntington, I mean, Taylor just...
I counted the town out at the time.
Hey, I did, too.
Okay. But then, I think, how God works.
Okay.
So
weren't a believer. I think...
I was a believer, but I was definitely what your stereotypical Christian would have been, who I said I'm a Christian, but I never...
So you were a Christian before you went into the Navy. The ones that go
to church on... But I was never baptized. I was never... I just believed there was God, and I believed in who Jesus was. But
okay, so you guys, how do you get hooked back up?
I came home on an extended time of leave after I
was... Like on purpose?
No, just normally you don't get as long as I did. I got like 30 days of leave, it was awesome.
So I'm on here for 30 days. Let's get married.
No, we didn't get married.
No, they didn't get married yet. This was a long out process.
Huh? This is like 2012.
Yeah, get it right.
I'm going out to California. And
how do you know the story?
Because I know all stories.
Okay. So what's Erica doing during this
time? She was in high school, and then she graduated.
Okay.
Around the time of her finishing high school and graduating, I had come home on that leave period, and we just kind of reconnected, and it was kind of like, it was kind of like we had never been broke up.
Like you rekindled the flame.
That is so cute.
We went to a movie. I forget what movie it was.
Must have been a real special time. We went to a movie. I have no idea.
Asked her out on a date.
Huh?
I asked her out on a date.
Because it was that good. He doesn't remember.
And then I ended up going to California and I got deployed. And after that, I was like,
just asked her.
I just remember. I was like, maybe, again, we weren't going to church. And I was like, maybe you should just move out because I'm not doing the distance thing again. And
So you guys lived together in California before you were married?
Yeah.
How did that not come up in the counseling?
Because my father.
I'm just kidding.
Here we go.
Taylor, I'm kidding.
You need a session again.
Wouldn't
another
mattered
one.
Me anyway.
Now so. I give people marriage counseling, and I bring
that is that's ironic. That's awesome. I know.
But
that's so awesome. Again, she came out there. Then you guys lived together while you're in the Navy,
and then I deployed again, and she came home. And at that point, I was like, and that was when my dad passed away. It was a terrible. It was a bad deployment. And I remember afterwards, I was like, if she can stick with me through all that. She definitely deserves, mm-hmm. you know.
So is it a real life thing married. Like the movies, like when you're on deployment that you can get on a computer and talk to somebody, like talk to Erica? Like you see that on all these like
you can get
Navy
on a SAT
SEAL
phone
movies.
And you can like, I remember like.
So did you call her?
Wait, where were you at and during this deployment?
He can't say.
I mean, country, can't you?
I've been in, the Pacific Ocean touches it, I probably.
That doesn't give me a hint at all.
Second deployment I was in. The 4th Fleet AOR, which Fourth is like Central South America.
Central South
America. And I did counter-narcotics.
Will you just give me the first letter of the country?
I mean, I've been to Panama on that deployment.
Is that the
That's
hint?
Like the main port.
Is that the hint?
That's the country.
Panama. Oh, Panama.
The canal.
Gotcha.
Is that a
I'm thinking Panama City.
Well,
bad
yes,
times.
But
no, Panama City's in Florida.
I know. I was confused.
But Panama City, Panama.
Panama City,
the
Panama.
Real Panama.
Oh, there is a Panama City, Panama.
Yeah,
that's why you said Panama, Panama. That's really hard to say.
So anyway,
Panama, okay. Panama.
I'm there, and Panama. Yeah, like I use a sat phone to call back when I got a
what?
A sat phone,
satellite
phone.
So like
have you
I was
ever
on
watched
a frigate,
any of these
which was,
movies.
No,
I was on like a frigate, which is the oldest ship. We actually sold all of them off.
What'd you say?
A frigate.
A frigate.
Oh.
Not frickin'.
It's
I thought
a
you said old as
okay,
S-word.
So you're, so again, yeah. You get back,
yeah.
You get married.
I proposed to her, and then I get married, and yeah. I said, well, we get married, and I said, well, we can't do this in California. We have no community. We have no family.
Right.
And I'm not flying everybody out here. Like, I think we were living in
right.
an apartment. So anyway, we made arrangements to come back here and get married. I just got to a new squadron, so I was on shore duty, couldn't be deployed.
Right.
Life was changing. Got married. Ended up, we found a house, which is really hard to find out there.
Oh, I bet.
And
expensive.
That's when I said when we got married, though, we both said, if we're getting married, we're going to church. And that was kind of a struggle. We always knew, again, always believed, but never acted on it.
Right.
And so once we got married, I remember like 2 weeks later or something around that time, I had to go to some advanced rescue school. And when I got back from Oregon, Washington area, I said, let's put 5 churches on a list. Just like, I think we Yelped, like looked at like,
you what?
We like looked at reviews.
You
churches,
Yelped.
Like Yelped the app. And then we were like, well, there's a lot of big churches out there like The Rock, Miles McPherson. That's it used to be C3. Now it's called The Awaken. Or awaken, I don't know.
So there's like all the big popular
all the
churches,
big churches,
like the things you'd watch on TV.
Yeah, I think John Maxwell had a church out there at one point. But anyway, we found one that was like 2 miles from the house, and I was like, oh, I can wake up for that. And we went, walked in the door, and it changed our lives because
the first time that you walked in.
Yeah, I think we missed one Sunday after that, and then we were like consistent members of the church.
What was so like, what made a difference on that first Sunday?
I think for sure, and it translates into what I do today. Mm-hmm. It was the connection I had. The pastors were at the front door.
The pastors?
Yeah, husband, wife.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, so they were at the front door.
That's cute.
Yeah. Oh. Being at the front door?
No, I thought you meant like being husband, wife, pastors.
Oh, sure.
Is that cute too?
That's cute too, yeah. Because okay. So they're working together. That would be awful, actually.
Yeah, so it was just...
Was the church big? I mean,
no, it was a small church. It was like, I think on like a good Sunday, including kids and everybody, it was like maybe 100, 120 people.
Okay. Probably so what you guys needed for that connection.
I definitely like the intimate part and the relationality you could have with everybody. Like I could know every single person's name. It was something I wanted to know and tried to find community through that. And just the opportunities I was given as we walked into that church, that's where I could learn how to let my faith grow through just relationships, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ended up, so kind of fast forward my military career really quick. I was an instructor teaching kids how to do what I did at that time. And I was successful in the military. There's E1 through E9 on the enlisted side.
Like and you're an E11.
I was, I was
E11. Wow, you were off the scale.
I was an E6, but I made rank really fast. And so like on shore duty, you know, you make rank fast, life's good. I had a really successful evaluation for our search and rescue program thing, like living cloud nine, took my students out to PT one day, and I broke my hip.
Oh, yes.
See, I have been telling the wrong story to everybody.
What have you been telling everybody?
You think I got in a helicopter crash?
No. Well, I told people what I thought Judy told me, which was that you were on a rescue mission and jumped out of the helicopter. And broke your hip. And then this was the whole thing when Brady and I were talking about it.
Yes.
Brady's like, no, he didn't. He broke it in Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah, Frisbee.
I'm like, well, I'm sticking with the other story because it makes him seem
way
cooler.
It does. I like that story.
There's two things.
Who breaks their hip in Ultimate Frisbee that just came out of the Navy SEALs?
Listen, let's be not nice. Navy SEALs. Okay, it was Navy, for a reason. God had a purpose for it because it brought him back here.
I call it my Jacob moment.
God touched his hip.
Yep.
Touched my hip. But then, actually, through that, though, what's crazy is I ended up getting offered an internship at that church while I was active duty. And so I lived the last part of my military career working at a church from the job that I had, which is when I, just before that, I'd felt called into ministry. I didn't know how. Mm-hmm. I just really felt like that's what I wanted to do. That's what God was calling me to do. It all kind of meshed up. And then, life suddenly changed because I think 2 weeks before I broke my hip, we found out Erica was pregnant with Rin. So, like, I wasn't supposed to be walking. She was in her first trimester. It was a very hard time at home. And then we're living across the country from everybody.
And it's your first child.
Yeah. Like, there was all kinds of factors. And then the pandemic hit. And we were like, oh. And that's when I was like, what are we going to do?
And you live in California during the pandemic.
Yeah, because
I saw some.
If you thought it was terrible here.
I saw some stuff.
I bet.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it'd be
the
like.
The amount of space suits I saw.
I have Walmart. To know what brought you, because I don't even think I've ever asked you this question. What led you here? I mean, I know that you had
to India, like
history. Yeah, well, to Life Church.
So, again, knowing Mike, he married us. This was an interesting conversation. So
I know, because didn't you just ask for a job?
We were praying and fasting.
Wasn't that how it was? Well, when I saw you there that day, I'm like, what the heck is Taylor doing here? Yeah. So you were like, Jenny, is that you?
Yeah.
Did I not look the same or something?
Well,
I've always wondered that question.
From 10 years, just a few weeks ago, there was a couple guys from my small group who went out for dinner, and I ran into—
You didn't recognize them?
I ran into a friend that I grew up with, and she was working at a restaurant I've never been to. And I was never there growing up.
Uh-huh.
It's a brick house.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I walked in, and I was like, what are you doing here? She's like, what are you doing here? So, like, 10 years of your life.
I would like to see a picture of Jenny 10 years ago.
I had dark hair.
Yeah, she did. Okay. I had hair.
Yeah.
So.
that happened.
But, yeah, I ended up we were praying and fasting about what to do going forward because I was like, I can't do the jobs I thought I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like, all of that's out the window. But I feel really called into ministry. But getting a job at an unpaid position, even, how, what's that look like for what our income needs to be? And so we ended up, I literally, and I still have the message. I don't have my phone on me. I was talking with Erica and I said, well, if we had to go back to Huntington, what would that look like? And we both, like, she was not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
She was a, she's a beach bum. She loves the water. She was like, I remember many conversations of we're not going to Huntington. Well, we brought the conversation up and I was like, what if I could work at a church? And she was like, well, what church would you work at? And I was like, I don't know.
That is the question.
And I said, well, I was like, well, Mike has Life Church. And I, you know, I've seen, I've kind of followed that a little bit and looked like they were doing good and they were healthy. And no longer healthy. Than I said that. Yeah. Healthy. I got a, of all people, Mike Hill messaged me on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Just randomly?
Nick.
Well,
Facebook, I was using Facebook.
But just, wait, randomly? Just randomly? Like,
randomly.
I mean, I had not talked to Mike Hill until he said, I now pronounce you husband and wife. No. And he says, hey, Taylor, I've been following your journey. I would love to reconnect.
I feel like you need to tell the story more often because I love when things like that happen. That is so cool.
I got the chills.
Immediately. Then, you're like, I have to.
And then he messenger video chatted me.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Step up!
Yeah,
I didn't know you knew how to do that.
Since then, I doubt.
I'm probably the first.
Do you remember how to do that?
What,
to video message?
I don't honestly. Here's the thing: is so that I had been following Taylor's journey because I'd been praying for him since I married him.
Okay.
With this whole idea that, because I said at the time when we were talking, like, you don't get to do much counseling, and I pray for most of the couples because. Uh-huh. I mean, you never know how things are going to turn out. Yeah. So it's cool because I was on Facebook following Taylor's journey and he had been posting things about what God was doing in his life. And so, and I'm in the midst of processing, like, what's going on in my own life? What do I, I'm always thinking of the future. Mm-hmm. So I'm always processing, like, what's to come. And so I'm thinking through things and just like, I don't know. I felt leading the Holy Spirit to say, connect with Taylor. And so I just sent him a message.
That and it was like in the moment.
I love that.
I still have it because I was like, and I told Erica too, like knowing who Mike is now.
Yeah.
I'm like, how I should odd frame that is. It.
We no, should you actually should.
Probably like, frame it can it only be God. Like, that's the thing.
Right. And so, so like, cool. Then I was kind of like, maybe that's kind of like a little tug to come back to the
just
Midwest.
A little.
And, but then I came back and typical Mike. Didn't hear from him at all. He said, let me know when you're back. I'm thinking he's going to ask me, like, serve at the front doors. And I'm like, absolutely. I want to serve. And I said, hey, Mike, we're back in town. We're kind of set up.
And nothing?
We're at Steve's house. Nothing.
For how long?
I don't know if that's completely.
For how long?
For nothing.
At least 2 weeks because.
Okay, well, that's
see, he's
true.
Admitting it right now.
Well, no, this is what happened, though. I was sitting at the jail at the dispatch.
Were you? Yeah.
Getting interviewed to be a dispatcher.
You were?
And I told Tim Allen, I said, yeah, I don't really want to do this because he was kind of helping me out. He knew I was looking for a job and nobody was hiring. I probably filled out 40 applications. I was going to work as a cash attendant at the zoo.
Wow. See, and you know what I mean? Like, of all people, you would have gotten, should have had
Okay, well, finish the story because you're making me out to be like,
what?
No, him.
I told you, this is every man for himself.
I know.
Here. So this is, I'm sitting literally like in an interview, I guess. And
Tim's
like,
jail.
You know, Tim and I, we're like in like the dispatch area and we were just catching up because I'm like related to him and we were catching up and I was like, well, this definitely wasn't my first option. Like, but like, I really appreciate the opportunity. Like, I really wanted to go into ministry and I really thought like maybe there was something here. It just doesn't seem like it's happening. And he was like, yeah,
that's you.
Well, but then you text me in the interview.
In the meeting?
And he said, hey, Taylor, can we meet up sometime next week and discuss some stuff?
Weird.
I'm still thinking, though, he's just going to ask me to serve. So I told Tim, hey, we'll talk about it. Like, I'll go talk to Erica, see what this looks like, because I was going to put on like seconds or thirds. And then I met up with Mike and he was like, no, I'm considering hiring you. And I was like, what? And then,
see, as he was bashing me, did everybody get that part? Like, I come back, he doesn't say anything to me.
And here's the job.
And now
Well, yeah, and then what was crazy is I remember.
What time of year was that?
I remember.
Summer, end of summer.
Yeah.
No.
And so, well, Sherry had just had her eye surgery. Because I came to your house and knocked on the door, and you were like, I'm in the party barn. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And you're like,
what is the party barn?
What's a party barn? Barn's at our house.
What's a party barn?
It's a barn that we turned into a house when we took in the kids. So it's actually a fully furnished house.
On the side?
No, behind our house.
Yeah.
It's as big as our house. Actually bigger than ours.
So why is it the party house?
It's the party barn.
That's what you just call it?
Because when the kids had friends over, they would go out there and party.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So Brad Wolf made us a sign made out of a cow that says party barn.
So yeah, it's... I remember. Then we.
But either way, so I had an excuse of why I wasn't, because I was in Indianapolis with my wife as she was getting.
Not for 2 weeks.
Huh?
For 2 weeks.
We were down there for over 10 days.
Oh, there you go.
She had to have that radiation put in her eye, and then you had to stay there, and then couldn't come back. So either way.
Wow.
So now Taylor, now we're back to where we started the story, and we're only 24 minutes in.
Yeah.
Only. But no, that's cool because I feel like. In the process of waiting, like we've all heard many of stories, like I'm sure there were things in there that you've learned from yourself, of yourself, just everything.
Patience.
Yeah.
I always tell people, like, and I would tell people in that time, like, it's always God's time, but I want it on my watch.
Isn't that annoying? Like, give it to me now.
Yeah,
it's my money, and I want it now.
But yeah, that's like, that's how commercial. I viewed it all, because I was like, God, I really felt like. This is where we were getting called to, and everything worked out to get moved back here. Like, we got a free move back in the middle of a pandemic. Like, it was everything lined up except for the job. And I was like, Erica, what am I going to do? And the military severance was messed up because they shut down operations, and they had, like, one civilian manning a desk for everybody. And when you're out of the military and you can't go on base, like, they're expecting you to be like, oh, yeah, hey, I'll come in tomorrow. And it's like, I'm in Indiana, not Coronado anymore, so that's not going to work out. And so it was a nightmare logistically, and it was a very like monumental time in our life. I can remember feeling through, like, and thinking through, praying through.
That's amazing.
That looked like, and I just remember thinking the impossible, like it could never happen, and then it did, and then you look back on it, and it's nothing. It's just building a testimony.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what it did, and I do share that with people, like. When they're struggling looking for jobs and you to really understand God's faithful, you sometimes don't know it until you've experienced something like
Amen.
That.
Right.
That's but so true.
Yeah. We have kind of a crazy story. And then, so yeah, now we're here and continuing to grow and work in ministry. Ministry's not easy.
No, it's not.
All right. Yeah. So let's go on. Let's talk about, so the roundtable is an opportunity for us through guests or through Jenny or through the eyes of whoever, you know, is watching, is to take an opportunity to take what we talked about on Sunday, go a little bit deeper and get, again, a fresh perspective on how does it play out in the midst of people's lives. Instead of it just being a message where people listen to, maybe remember, don't remember, the roundtable is to take it, listen to it, hear it, but go deeper inside of it. So we're in the middle of the series called Amplified. And so
did you know that?
I did.
You did?
That was a part of the meeting.
So in the series Amplified, voices that are amplified that shouldn't, and then amplify the voice of God. So this week we talked about opinion. And so we'll get in and read a little bit of the scripture. So let's talk a little bit about one of the scriptures that we're going to look at is Jesus says, who do people say that I am? Right. So that's how it starts off. So I want to start a little bit with that. So Jenny, in your life, or Taylor, in your life, have you ever had those times where you've thought about, I wonder what people think about me?
Every day.
Yeah, when don't
Every
I?
Every day.
Huh?
When don't I?
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Fun
you just
fact.
Said that.
So
Fun
I,
fact.
I remember like a specific moment. I was at Crestview Middle School in seventh grade.
I
was an only child.
You can remember seventh grade?
You can?
Like this moment.
No.
This seventh moment. Grade, or yes. Don't listen to me.
Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of things I forget, but I
okay, so you remember this. Seventh grade.
Crestview was
I'm
the
sitting
best.
At a desk, and there's, I forget all the people around me, but you're in like four desks facing each other. And they were friends of mine that I grew up with from elementary school.
Friends.
Exactly. They were friends. I was a loner kid. Like, I didn't go to the campus life events. I sat at home. My parents weren't together.
In
I didn't
seventh
have
grade?
That. Well, yeah, my parents were never together, but it was just like this. I felt outside of that conversation. And I always remember these kids would just talk about, hey, do you want to go to that game on Wednesday?
Around
and I,
you?
Yeah. And I was just sitting there like, this sucks. But I remember thinking like, what do they think about me? And how can I be more like that? and what it did, I never would forget it, because I remember I was the kid, this girl, she looked at me and she said, "You don't talk much. You should talk more. We'll talk." And I just remember that situation.
That seems relatively impossible if you've been around Taylor at any amount of time.
Yes, oh, I know.
Hey, Taylor, can you talk?
Yeah, can you not talk, please?
Is that the camera? Ask Erica, is that true? Huh? She'll say, yeah, mm-hmm. I talk all the time.
Yeah, you do.
But I worked on it and actually ended up becoming like a huge tool to use in ministry, is that now when there's people in a room, I'll just walk up to someone and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And it'll be like I've known them for 10 years.
Yeah.
So you're saying like having somebody's opinion helped?
No, at first it didn't. It hurt me. And at first I felt really distant, but I immediately fell into the enemy of comparison of like, I need to be like these people. But really what I found, one thing once I found my calling, was that I did have something inside of my heart that was like, you are really good with communicating. And there was something holding me back then that I have access to now.
So the opinions of other people kind of helped you in a sense.
It was like a motivator. Yeah. Like it was bad in the season, but it was good. And I have to be careful of it because it's still comparison. Mm-hmm. It's still somebody's opinion over my life. And that's, I mean, part of what you talked about on Sunday was the get behind me, Satan kind of thing.
I loved that.
Like that can project you forward. Like initially it was like two complete different circumstances, but it was like the same person.
Right. Yeah. And so Jenny, with you, same thing. You struggle with like wondering what other people think about you?
Yeah. I guess it's getting a little bit better. Like it used to be really, really bad. I mean, I think a lot of it like today has to do with me working in ministry and being or living the having the past that I do. Mm. Like that is one thing that I really struggle with.
So you think people would look at you and be like,
"Why? Yeah, why is she there? Or she doesn't deserve it?" Or
because I mean, I left for 10 years, and people when I come back and they're like,
"Yes,
what do you do now?" I'm like, "I work at Life Church," and they're like,
"Yes,
you what?"
I'm guilty of that. I thought that.
But no,
I was just like,
Jenny's
what?
Like, yeah, that's the first thing I thought of.
Well, too. When I saw your post, like when you were living out in California, I'm like, which like post? That's what intrigued me.
When I was at the
when
church.
You're speaking, like oh, the we've... one of you and Erica when you're sitting there, like that
was
like
our test. Yeah, one of
yes,
our testimonies.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, again, so in both of your circumstances, did the opinions or do the thoughts or opinions of other people shape?
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
The things that you do? I mean, and even in a bad way, like in the worry of what somebody else will think, does it
now,
change?
No, I think now? Like,
you don't worry about the opinions of others now?
Not so much. I think part of it's coming from, I know who I am. And part of it's like, everybody can have their opinion mm-hmm. and you can say what you want about me, but like, I take things with a grain of salt and not much offends me.
Even from people who are close to you?
Well, people close to me, I think that's, they suppress their opinion and they tell you lies.
What?
You think so?
Oh yeah. Like I think people are scared of confrontation, so they don't share their opinions or they conform to my beliefs so that we can have a conversation.
Wow.
Like if let's say you're a drug addict of 15 years, sorry to look at you.
Why are you using me? Why don't you use Mike? Cause I was.
Say you're a drug addict of 15
years. That's a bad
years.
Example.
Hey Jenny, let's okay, say so, that you were a drug addict.
So like 2 years ago?
So whatever time frame.
Okay.
When somebody comes up to you and you know they're in ministry, the first thing you do is change the way you really talk about
yes.
your past.
Yes.
And there's this barrier.
Yeah.
So you don't really share your real opinions with me. You share what you want me to hear. I found that a lot with people who know me.
You think that's everybody?
People close to me.
Oh,
okay. But when I'm meeting with people who come to church and they want to talk, that's a little different. And I don't really, like, I have boundaries with people's opinions, too. Like, if they start talking politics, I, like, tell them out up front, like, I don't really care.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm not going to talk about that with you. I have my opinions, and it's not going to change.
Peace, love, and happiness. Politics.
But, like, I think I've learned to put boundaries up in certain areas of my life. But I know for sure, like, opinions used to shape who I was. Especially before I was a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I lived for people's opinions of me. Like, if it was a bad opinion, I was like, how do I make it better so that it pleased you?
Yeah, because part of it is that people have a natural tendency to be people pleasers.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Who said that to me today?
That you're
you
an
said
apple.
Said it about yourself today.
To a people pleaser? Yeah. No, somebody said it.
Oh, no, you said it to her.
Somebody, oh, you
oh,
did.
Oh, yeah, no, you are.
I couldn't remember where I heard that from.
Yeah,
we I was like, I know like somebody 10, told
we said it like 15 minutes ago.
I know.
Because that, you're up till 2 a.m. trying to make sure people like our posts.
Not necessarily. It was doing. I was doing my job. I was. Why is that funny?
People pleasing?
No.
No, no, no. Doing no. social media.
Oh.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was actually like doing work.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
For real.
No, but again, let's
I
talk.
I had deadlines,
No,
man.
Let's talk about the difference. So let's make sure we have a difference because yeah. a couple of things you guys brought up, and I think this is important for our listeners. There's a difference of having an opinion about politics.
Yeah.
Yes.
And an opinion about who you are.
Well, those yeah. are facts, aren't they? Well, not all politics are, but.
Well, no, no. I mean, again,
but, so,
but I'm saying like I have an opinion of you, and this is what I this is what I'm saying is that all of that kind of stuff, I don't, that's why I think it should be okay to sit in a room with people and listen to their opinion when it comes to mm-hmm. politics, the coronavirus, yeah. wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. Like, I don't really care. Let's just listen to all of them because at the end of the day, they're just opinions. And at the end of the day, everybody's going to back it up with their own support, but it's yeah. still just an opinion.
Right. Yeah. right?
And everybody
you.
Should be able to have one, which this is what I think we need to be careful of. Everybody should be able to have an opinion and you shouldn't have to be mad at them for having one.
Exactly.
Right. But what I think Christ is talking about inside of the scripture is when we have this self-image issue, mm-hmm. you know, that other people's opinions shape mm-hmm. the thing that God should be shaping for us. And part of it yeah. just is because we don't know who we are. We know who we are because people, even if it means that people haven't told us, we've become something and we're, yes. we found that we're good at it and we define ourselves by.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good at these things, so I'm defined by,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
right? So just give an example. What's something you're really good at, Jenny?
Well, I was going to say something before that,
okay.
but along the lines.
Okay.
Like, opinions can also prevent you, I mean, you just said this on Sunday, like, prevent you from doing what you're supposed to do. Like, for me, the biggest thing that I'm affected by when people have their opinion on is my personality. Mm. So if people are saying I'm too much or just annoying or which I know I can't be, but I can say that, but you can't. But like those sayings, my personality for what I am being used for, like it would stop me from doing
right.
like the things that I should be doing.
Right.
And I would
well,
let
and, and part of it is so think about this for each one of us. So for each one of us, we have these things that have somewhat defined us, right?
Yes.
So when people have an opinion about something that hasn't defined us, it really doesn't affect us, mm-hmm. right? So if you define yourself as a hard worker and somebody calls you lazy,
yeah,
right?
That happened to me, actually.
If somebody,
not that one.
Right,
but
you
yes.
see what I'm saying? Like, you have these things that you personally
yeah.
have defined that make up you,
they
right?
hurt worse.
Right, well, that's my point. So
yeah.
the point is that we can say a people's opinion doesn't matter until it hurt, until it
oh,
goes
yeah.
to the
yeah.
thing that you've defined yourself by,
mm-hmm. yes.
right? So I'm defined by, back to why do so many preachers burn out? Because they're defined by their message, right? Yeah. If you've ever preached a message on Sunday morning, the hardest thing is you spend 20 hours a week doing it and it takes you 30 minutes to deliver it. And
yeah.
at the end, everybody just walks out and you're like, I wonder if that worked. Did it not work? You know, but again, if you get caught up in that, like I'm defined by, that's why I say in all these churches that have become cults,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean? Those pastors are defined by their what they can deliver on a Sunday morning. And so the way that that
yeah.
delivery happens is because they're putting all of their eggs in this idea of being so charismatic
yeah.
and so good on a Sunday morning that that's what defines them. So
yeah.
all of their
mm-hmm.
effort is put into something. And if the first person that says anything about that, it just totally wrecks them.
Or leaves.
Yeah.
That's
then
my
they're
point.
Wrecked
right.
by
they're
them
wrecked
leaving.
Because I listened
yeah.
to a message or I was wrecked because, and it, because you were defined by.
Yeah.
My first sermon here, I had a 19-year-old kid come up to me and tell me that I could fine-tune my public speaking skills.
What?
Yeah. And I looked at him and I said, okay.
Yeah, but that's, but
like,
again.
But it was one of those things. It was like, I know what I need to do. I know the things that I can work on, but I know what God's called me to do. And that's one of those things, like, that could devastate someone from their calling.
If yeah.
you had it, especially if you had an ego, like a really big ego, that would obliterate someone. And I was just kind of like, did it hurt a little bit? Like, yeah, it's like getting rubbed with sandpaper. But at the same time, it's like, but what is that? How am I going to let that hold me back? Or is it going to push me forward?
And
that's, again, I use it as motivation to be like, well, number one, the kid's 19 years old.
Right.
Like, and number two, I know what I said, and I know what I think part of what you had Sunday was like, I knew the truth behind the message, and that people received it well. And even if it was just for one person, then public speaking skills aside.
Well, do you think that he like actually meant it in a bad way? Or
yeah,
do you
because
think...
he was. Let me just phrase this nicely. He's a very opinionated college student of today's world.
Because I could see it the other way of like trying to help you, like his opinion. But you take it a certain way.
Jenny, and you bring up a good point. It is a balance. So there has to be this balance where we listen to the wisdom of people, right? Like there is that balance. But again, what I want to get into or what I think is going to be really important is there are some things that because of the opinions of people and because they have cut to the deeper parts of who we are that have shaped decisions for people that have kept them out of the will of God, kept them out of doing the things of God because of the opinion of other people. Yeah. So the big question on Sunday was, how do you guard against that? So what is your tools, Jenny, as a people pleaser that you can share with the audience? Like what would be a tool to keep somebody or how do you guard, you know, against those types of things happening with you?
I don't know. That's a really good question because it is something that I'm still like working with, especially being on social media so much. I think I even had this conversation with my mom. It's like, it affects me personally when something doesn't do as well or doesn't get as much likes or, and that's some of that is because, or I stay off of social media because of those things sometimes. Mm-hmm. So to be on it all the time and so much, I have to really, really like take back and like take a step back and look at myself and just try to not be like make it personal.
Yeah. Right. Because you could, like, as an example, like part of one of the guards that you could put in the motivation for you to do social media in the way that you're doing is to honor God. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the ebbs and flows, the highs and lows of whether it did or didn't work. Right. We were talking a little bit about that Sunday. Don't define yourself by whether it did or didn't, but define it by the motivation behind it. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what we have to always come back to. That's part of a guard. Like when we go out there and you do any, this is the problem I think with people because they get hurt by other people's opinions, then they'll never put themselves out there anymore.
Yes. Right.
So you'll never say anything. Yeah. You'll never talk about anything. You'll never take a chance doing anything because the one time you did it, somebody had an opinion.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. If that only happens because you're defined by things you should never be defined by, you know? So for you, a practical thing would be just make sure that you guard it, right? Like on how much you are on social media. Taylor, thoughts on ways that you can guard your heart or you just not care about anybody's opinion?
No, I think part of it's like an identity thing. Like, who do I let define my identity? And you kind of touched on that, I think, a little on Sunday. But it's like, if I let the world define me, I would just belong to the world again. And it's not the world who created me, who created my identity. So, like, learning who I am in Christ, it's literally been a transformation of who I was growing up here in Huntington and who I am now back here in the same city.
Right.
I think I've told you before, like I feel dead, literally have felt dead to my old self.
Right.
But I think part of that helps me because when somebody shares an opinion and I have an identity and I know where it's rooted in the truth, that's my measure of like, is this an opinion that could benefit me? And actually like, I maybe need to listen to what you're saying to me to help me grow. And I need to own up to that. Or is it something that's just like out there trying to prevent me from where I'm going and where God's calling me to?
Yeah, like so, really look at it.
Yeah, so my identity, as long as I understand who I am and who God's called me to be, I think that really helps me with the opinions of others.
And remembering like your new self.
Yeah,
right.
Like that's what I have to do very often and like how I would act back then.
Yeah, because part of it's like there are character traits that have transferred from before I was saved to now that I'm trying to repent of and move past like anger.
Right.
Like I used to just snap. I mean, and there's times where like I find myself today, Erica, we were putting shelves up at the house.
Oh, great.
China shelves and they kept falling
down.
What
kind of shelves?
China.
Why?
They're from Target.
Oh.
And they kept falling off the wall. Like, and they were knocking things off, plug-ins off the wall.
You were mad?
Oh.
What made you mad about that?
because I hung it up, I don't know how many
times. Oh, you hung it up.
Oh, and they just kept falling off the wall.
We see the problem here, Nick, anywhere.
What? What's the problem?
No, it's Taylor hanging shelves on a wall. Like,
oh,
the
that's
wall,
the problem.
The
yes.
wall isn't defective, just no. so we're all on the same page.
Me.
Yes.
And I'm getting mad. And, like, Erica's like, I know.
Joking it off.
But it, well, she's laughing, but that part of me knows that it's a different response than I would have normally had. Normally, I'd have gone off. I'd have punched a hole in the wall.
Broke the
shelves. And, you know, said yeah. select words. But she's laughing because she knows I'm fighting it.
Right.
And she sees a different reaction out right. of me. So she's sitting there with, like, crew holding him, laughing at me.
Yeah.
And I'm really frustrated. I'm like, Erica, I need you to come here, please. And, you know, we get everything to work out. But, like, if I don't learn that that was the old me and continue to deny that right to reign in my life,
mm-hmm.
like, if somebody said you're an angry person, I'd be like, I need to keep working on getting rid of that anger.
Sure.
You know, so there's health to an opinion, but again, it comes down to, like, what do I value and what am I doing it for?
Right. Yeah. So let's wrap up this section with the last part of how Jesus talked to Peter. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
in the scripture, he's like, Simon, you know,
yeah.
which was Peter's name yeah. beforehand. He's like, listen, Simon, you know, you have this and this is who you are and you are going to be Peter. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and we're going to build the church on you. You're going to be the rock. The gates of hell will never prevail again. So he gives this picture of who Simon could be by mm-hmm. calling him Peter.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so important for two reasons.
I love that.
You know, one reason I would say is most of the time, that's something that I have a huge value on. So when I sit down with Jenny, I'm never looking at Jenny, who she is today,
right.
but who God wants her to be in the future. So every time that I meet with her, it's not really necessarily about, let's look at this, but let's look at who God sees you to be. And my responsibility is to help her see the same thing.
Right.
Same with Taylor, same with Nick, really anybody that I work with. And I think that's vitally important,
yeah.
number one, for us to see ourselves as God sees us. Mm-hmm. So we have to take the time to say, he's not seeing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's seeing this. And so we need to go there. And when you're working with other people, it's the same thing. Because how easy is it to be like, she's so annoying. He's mm-hmm. You know, or today he's very much this. And because of that, we don't see past
yeah.
those things.
Or, I mean, a similar situation. It was before I got hired on this job. Like, I hadn't thought about my old life in a while or had felt that I was who my past is. And when I was... because of they found out of my past, the job that I was hired to, and I lost that, it brought, I wasn't necessarily super sad about the job. It was the fact that they told me I was a felon and I,
right.
you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's like.
But you're like, I'm not a felon, but they're
well,
like, you are.
Well,
you, but, right, like,
no,
yes. but you're not living that life,
yes.
but they're calling you that.
Right.
But yeah. they couldn't look past
yes.
that you are
this to right. say, but we see the Jenny in the future.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. That's
or
what
even
you're
today,
saying.
They right. couldn't
like, and,
see that.
And we've talked about that when we did the Fishers of Men series or Go Fish series.
Mm-hmm.
And when he called Peter out onto the water, he did that because he knew who he was, or he knew the faith within him.
That he could
and Peter
step
didn't
out.
Even really know that he had the faith until he did it.
Right.
Right. Until he took the step. And I think that's what you mentioned. He says he calls him Simon Bar-Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
But then he, you know, and there's like this hopeful moment of like, he's going to build the church. He's changed my name. Like
right.
all of mm-hmm. this positivity, like life's great for him.
Well, but yeah, and Jesus knows he's going to deny him. Jesus knows
exactly.
he's going to make
yeah.
all these mistakes, but he still sees.
Yeah.
who Peter, who he could be in the name of Peter, right?
Yeah.
Like that's, and I think that's important for all of us to
yeah,
just,
agreed.
For two reasons. One of the reasons that I think about the future all the time is because I think it's this, that God's continuing to mold us, so we should always be looking to what he wants to mold us into,
yeah.
right? And I think the other part of it is if you're really going to work with people and make a difference in the world, you have to see them for who they could be, not who they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's you know? Good.
Yeah.
So let's end this part with, before we get to our fan section, advice, Jenny or Taylor, that you can give to our audience when it comes to listening to the opinion of others and or how to approach other people and not let opinion affect their lives. Advice?
Taylor, go first.
I mean, part of what I do is meeting with people. And one thing I consistently see, especially if it's someone I knew before I left for the military, they immediately clam up. They don't want to share everything. Until I tell them, like, listen, you know who I was. I know who you, like, you knew who I was. I know who you were. But understand that I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about how we're getting into tomorrow or how we're getting past where we're at today. Like, how can you become better? And what do you need to get rid of? And I have to do that to myself. But a lot of times people hold themselves down because they forget that if they're not a believer, they think that we don't bleed the same blood. And it's like relating to them like, no, listen, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We have to admit that. We can't go forward until we admit that. But how can we make ourselves accountable to growing in who Christ has called us to be? Because everybody wants to hold themselves down with their identity. And to be known by a human is kind of scary. But to be known by God is almost more fearful to me because, like, he knows everything.
Right.
You only know what I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we can learn to take opinions from people lightly, but, like, understand their real story.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know who you are. I don't care about all of the mess that goes with it because mine's just as messy.
Right.
I just want to know your story so I can help you rewrite it.
Right.
And that's what I think we can do in relationships with people is, like, your yesterday can be different. Completely different than tomorrow.
Right. Jenny, thoughts?
I think that, like, my advice would be, and something that I've had to do in my life, is to not take the opinion personally. Right. So flip it around to, that might be, a lot of times when somebody has an opinion about you negatively, it's because they're struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've been told my whole life, but I think, again, it's an age thing, that opinions come easier as you age, but it really is true that somebody projects what they're going through on you and they don't even realize it. So really trying to not take the things that people say to heart and take it personally and to really focus on who you are today and then who you will be. And just to know that that's everything that's being said, if it's negative, is not of you, like, is not you.
Well, I think that's real quick, like what you said Sunday, was that's kind of how you find out who someone really is, or even how we find out who we are. It's like when you have a lemon and you squeeze it,
mm-hmm.
what comes out, yeah. what's inside, the juices. So until you can understand what's inside of you or mm-hmm. what's inside someone else, you'll never really get to know everything about them. So I think there is, like, that need to know what's inside of a person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To ever do or make any change or help bring someone to
even inside of yourself. You yeah. have to know yourself.
Yeah.
Because when you know yourself and you know your worth in Christ,
yeah.
when these things come back and hit you, it's not going to matter to you because you know who you are and you know who your creator is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I would say this. This was my advice because this is something that transformed my life is that ask yourself this question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay? And are you confident in being a son of the king and a daughter of the king? Because at the end yeah. of the day, that's a lot of the struggle. Like, being in a leadership position or doing the things that I do or being out there in a lot of different mm-hmm. circumstances, everybody has an opinion and everybody can bring. And honestly, some of the things that they say, like that I'm not good at or that
mm-hmm.
I know that's okay because I still am a son of the king who has a heart for the Lord and I can rest in that. Like,
yeah.
can you really have peace? That you are, because you will never be enough, just so everybody gets it, inside of your marriage, inside of your relationships, inside of your being to your kids,
yeah.
you're never going to be enough. Everybody's going to have an opinion of what you should do to be more. But once you can rest in the fact that I am a son of the king, I am a daughter of the king, he made me,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm hearing all these things, but I'm okay with it because it doesn't change who I am inside of that. That would be my advice. All right, let's move forward to the yeah. fan section.
Woo!
So on to the fan section.
Wait,
so
just let me tell one joke.
Hold
just
on.
One
we got,
joke.
No, we got to get this.
Oh, okay. Let's do the fan segment.
Yeah, we got
to
get the fan segment.
We
got to get the fan segment in. Fan segment. So it's always like we ask you to send something in.
Okay.
And it's usually from Jenny, who has came up with what
it
day,
is.
It, like what's going on in the world, and so we want you to be a part of it. So last week she said it's National Siblings Day, which it really wasn't.
I know. I just wanted to apologize to everyone that I maybe misconstrued. Is that a word?
No.
You might have misconstrued.
Misconstrued.
Either way.
Misconstrued.
So you remember
you
what we do
that?
In the fan section. There'll be an email, theroundtable@lifehuntington.com. Theroundtable@lifehuntington.com. We want you to send feedback, which we still haven't got any yet. Is that true, Producer Nick?
We've gotten a lot of pictures.
pictures, but no like questions.
Hey, we got to start somewhere.
We love questions. If you guys have like, here's some things that on identity or I mean on opinions would like to share.
Anything.
You know, send that stuff in. We'd love you to use our email in the midst of all of that. So use our email. But anyway, so we were going to ask you to participate each week. So this was National Siblings.
I know.
It was day, April but 10th. It really wasn't. So let's go ahead.
It was April 10th.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and look at the pictures that we got.
They're still
in.
Good pictures. We love siblings.
First one, this is from Candy Smith.
Who?
Candy Smith.
That's my aunt.
Wow.
That's my mom and my aunt, but
one too?
That's really, I wish you wouldn't have asked me that. I think that is my aunt on the right.
And so my Candy's mom's on the left. Okay.
No, I would think that's true.
Well, because I think my baby picture looked like the one on the left.
Well, more important.
Okay, next picture.
Huh?
Do you know if your mom's older?
My mom's older. She's oldest. So your mom was older. That's me and Kayla when we were little. So we were, even though we're cousins, we were brought up like sisters. Like, I
that's
call
you
her
on
my
left?
Little sister.
That's Jenny.
Yeah. I wow. still give that smile.
Okay.
It's a smirk.
Sorry, Nick, did you say that? We interrupted you. Who's next?
This is Olivia Hollander.
Yeah, I can
Isn't
see
that
Olivia
so cute?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. She has to be like 12 or something.
That
there.
Is for sure a throwback picture.
I know.
This is Lindsay Walker.
Yes. Lindsay did send this in. Thank you, Lindsay. Actually, I did. That was from the Dominican.
Was it really?
Oh, you're kidding. Yeah. My sister. So my sister-in-law, Lindsay, on the left. And then my sister, my mom, and then me in the hat.
Okay.
That awesome. Dinner was awful.
Is that Alex Bope?
Yep. Yes. Yep.
What?
That's Alex Bope, yeah.
Is it really?
I'm loving all these
I literally have
pictures.
One of these lights like right on her face. So, yeah.
Oh,
Alex.
Yeah.
Wow.
And her brother.
Then we have Julie Hollinger.
Yes, and they are at the Niagara Falls. I guessed it.
And I don't know which
That's not
are.
The Wabash?
No.
That's not at Hanging Rock in Huntington?
Maybe. Isn't that cool, though? Like, what year was that? I didn't want to ask her.
You just her, whoa, like, guess. Look at that one.
The Denny's.
Whoa.
That's good.
That is Coyote
Except
Ugly.
Except he's got a cool
And that's the Denny
thing.
Kids.
Denny Kids.
Aw. Love that place. That's Forks of the Wabash.
This one's from Tammy Little.
Oh, that's a little.
Holy
Give us a whistle.
Moly. Nope.
Yeah, I did, sort
no,
of. It was
didn't.
Sort of. I got a... My mouth was really dry.
And then this
and
last
isn't that
one
picture
was
amazing?
From Jenny as well.
Jenny. So that's my brother on the left.
And you on the
and
right.
No, that's my sister on the right. Oh, I'm not in there.
Do you remember the movie Duncan Checks In?
No.
Okay, so let's vote. Disney What's our vote? Do you got to vote, Nick?
Ooh.
Did you have a vote?
We have to vote on the best of those photos?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because then they win something, right, Jenny?
I like the Niagara Falls.
Jenny, what do they win?
A gift certificate.
To?
Cafe of Hope.
Okay, got it.
I vote for Julie's, the throwback to the Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls?
Yeah, that was cool.
I kind of like the Littles.
Yo.
That's insane.
I like the Littles. How are you going to give out gift cards to the Littles?
No, just the person,
to the
that
person
sent
who
it
sent it.
Who sent it in?
Tammy.
Tammy. Oh,
yes, so that's right.
Yeah.
She was our, I think that was
I mean,
the
I love
one.
The Littles. I have to go Alex, though, because she's in my small group.
I'm going the Littles. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Woo!
Yeah, so.
Tammy.
Tammy wins. Fan segment. Thank you, everybody, for sending in your pictures. So next week,
yes, next
this
week.
Is what you want you to send in.
So it is National Coffee Day today. And by the way, if you go to Cafe of Hope, they are offering a free small coffee today. And so you don't have to buy anything, one per person. You can get cream and sugar.
Okay.
It. Yeah.
So let's make sure when you send it in, here's what we would rather see. Like, you can send in a picture of coffee. We'd rather a picture of you drinking coffee.
Oh. Okay.
Like, in your favorite spot. Like,
yeah,
out
I got
on your
critique
porch,
for sending in a
you know,
picture
like
of
you're
my
doing
water
your,
bottle.
You're doing your quiet time. You're
yeah,
at the cafe.
Potions.
You're outside.
Sipping your coffee. I have a
yeah,
lot of those
whatever
drinks.
That is.
So it's not pictures. Just the coffee.
Not we would rather it not be just the cup of coffee.
Not like an aesthetic cup of coffee. Like that.
Huh? You can't just take
picture.
Your random decor from around the house and then filter it. So
that's the best.
No, so you can do whatever you want, but you can have coffee in it.
Just know that that's the one he's
going to
vote for.
Love to see your picture in it.
Yes.
Reminder, whoever sends the picture in is going to win a gift certificate to the Cafe of Hope. Ooh. Jenny will be getting a hold of Tammy this week to get her gift.
Yes.
Inside of that. So any parting words or parting advice as we close up today?
I just wanted to know if Anybody woke up Green Day after September ended?
What? Anybody woke
up? I think you said that wrong.
I did. I totally did. Hold on. Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Did
now
anybody
that
wake up Green Day
Wait, just,
after
will you
September?
Let me finish?
I'm thinking about a physical ailment that we all would have.
Now that September has ended, did anyone remember to wake up Green Day? That's how I should have said it. Wake me up there. When there. September
Why?
Ends.
That's a song. That's a song.
Yes, it is. But, that
mean,
was hardcore. Right.
It's not over though. September's still here.
Right.
It's almost over. Hey, thanks for everybody for joining us on the roundtable. We'll look forward to seeing you guys next week.